Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to the International Black Summit Talk Show. I'm your host for this evening's show, Reverend Henrietta Bird, and welcome. Thank you so much for listening with the show prepared for you today. But as normal, we want to begin our show with the International Black Summit's declaration. So if you would listen closely, as we always do, and see where you find yourself in the declaration of the International Black Summit. And it begins, "We declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There is nothing to do except be. We assert that we are responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation of, about, and for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity, and integrity with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, building economies responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. Atlanta, Georgia, October 7, 1991. Chicago, Illinois, March 14, 2010. Above, below, and beyond. A moment of silence, please. And so it is. How's everybody doing this evening? Good to see so many of you have already called in. Our show tonight is on relationships, and our focus for the month of March is love. And people might wonder why we focus this month on love, and it is because, and not February, and it is because we decided to keep February just for African American History Month, and that we would move into March with our focus on love, because we can do that, because we can speak the word and have anything done whenever we choose to, and we decided to do that, and that's why we're doing it. That's why we're doing it. So hello to everyone out there on the road. My co-host for tonight, Claire Lyons Devon, is traveling. So I'd like to say hello to her, and we know her journey is safe because it's safe. We know that. And hello to Jerry and hello to Glenn, our other co-host, and all the way in Japan, Shakesha, our roving reporter. But I'd like to say hello to them because that's my summit relationship. And since we're focused on relationships, those are my co-hosts, and I'd just like to say hello to them tonight. I think I'd like first to explain some of the things about the International Black Summit. When I read the declaration, and we always invite you to go to our website, which is blacksummit.org, and read the declaration for yourself, as well as look at the events and the activities that we have coming your way in the near future. We have an annual event, we meaning the International Black Summit body. We have an annual event every, and it's always the first full weekend in the month of August. And this year, our summit, what we call the summit, is going to be held in Baltimore, Maryland. So we invite you not only to go and take a look, but to register and join us at the International Black Summit this year. If you need a prerequisite, meaning you've never attended the summit before, then please let us know, and you can contact us through our network, through the International Black Summit Network that you find on our website at internationalblacksummit.org. And just give us a call and let us know, or shoot us an email. Let us know, yes, you would like to attend, and you do need to do the prerequisite before you arrive in Baltimore, and we'll make arrangements for either you to travel to take the prerequisite, or if there are 10 people, then we'll come to you and do the prerequisite. But we definitely want you to be there, because we're going to have a good old transformational time in August. So please join us there. Don't forget, every Sunday we're here live at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time and all over. And so join the other talk show hosts as we, you know, we prepare these wonderful sessions for you every week. And we focus on the man of the month, and that features Jerry Thomas and Glenn Greenwich. And Chakasha does our show for youth this month, and that will be the following week. And then we begin again with well-being on the first week and relationships on the second week, man of the month on the third week, and we feature the youth on the fourth week. So every Sunday, join in at 7 p.m. Central Time to the International Black Summit Talk Show. Great. We had a wonderful show last week, and I hope if you didn't get a chance to listen to it, that you will go back to the archives. And, you know, all of our shows are archived. You just go to Blog Talk Radio, or you can go to blacksummit.org and listen to any show that you choose. But if you get a moment, we had a great poet on the show last week. So we invite you to listen to those shows, okay? Great. I see a hand up already, and I will take this caller, 856. You're on the air.
Actually, you knew me. Hey, Henrietta, it's Clara.
Hi, Clara.
Yeah, great introduction.
Great. So you still traveling?
No, I'm set.
Okay. Oh, good. Okay, great. All right. Well, let's get started, because our one of our guests is on the line, I see. And this evening what we've done is actually ask people who have been in relationships for a while, people who, you know, we've asked several different groups of people, I'll say, to call in, and so that we can share some of the techniques or tools, I'll say, that they use in relationship, or some of the things that they are doing in relationships. And if you have any questions for our guests, just push the number one button on your phone, and we will see that your hand is raised, and you'll be able to ask questions. Also,
the dial-in number, Henrietta, if people want to call in with a question.
Okay, and the dial-in number is 646-716-9827. 646-716-9827. And you do need to add a 1 if you're using a landline. So that will be 1-646-716-9827. All right. Claire, did you have something?
No, I was just saying that if people wanted to dial in, that was the number which you gave them. And also the website is www.blacksummit.org.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
www.blacksummit.org. Okay, and Claire, your voice is coming through a little soft, so that's why I'm repeating everything that you're saying, just in case.
Okay, great. I did have one other thing I wanted before we bring the guests on, and it's one of the things that you expressed in the declaration, Henrietta.
Okay.
I'm reading through it. One of the premises in the declaration is establishing nurturing relationships.
Yeah.
As you were speaking, sometimes, you know, when we read the declaration, there's so many components to it. And as you expressed, we wanted to use this month to demonstrate love in all of its capacities. And establishing nurturing relationships covers such a wide range of areas. It's, you know, relationships in marriage. It's relationships with our family. It's relationships at work. And I think when that particular line of the declaration was written, that brush just covered everything. And I'm happy tonight that we have the opportunity to look at, I believe we're looking at love relationships tonight, aren't we?
That's right. Love relationships. Love relationships, whatever that means, you know?
Exactly.
Whatever that means. Yeah, so establishing, nurturing relationships. So, and that's a good place to focus, like establishing those relationships. So it will be interesting to hear from the first couple that we have, because Claire, they have been married for 41 years.
I say.
And I will let you do most of the questioning, because they are people that I know well and have just enjoyed so much of my life watching and learning from them, you know, as they've established this nurturing relationship, you know. Are we ready to bring them on?
Yes, we are.
Okay, great. 773. So, you know, this is a Chicago couple, the 773 number. Good evening.
Good evening. Do we have to push one?
No, I can hear you fine.
Okay.
Okay. Claire, can you hear her?
Yes, I can.
Okay. And is Bill on also?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. So please, everybody, meet Nancy and Bill. Well, so welcome.
Yes, welcome. Welcome to the show.
Yes.
Okay, I guess, Claire.
Yeah, I guess where we'd like to start is, you know, how did the two of you meet?
Well, we met, we're both, my husband is in a fraternity, I'm in a sorority. And actually, when his fraternity was, I'm getting foggy now after 41 years. His sorority was having a sweetheart contest, as you know, you probably remember those from way back in the day. Mm-hmm. And William was representing his fraternity as a candidate for our sweetheart. And so that's actually when we first met, and I always tell this story about how very unimpressed I was with him, because he seemed very cocky and very sure of himself, and seemed like he was just kind of putting up with us until it was time for him to leave. He was just kind of doing his duty. And he later shared with me how very nervous he was during that time, and his nervousness came off as cockiness, but we saw each other again at another Greek function, and I'm not quite sure how many weeks later that was, or months or whatever, but we talked that evening, and he offered me a ride home from this event, and then we kind of took it from there. Uh-huh. And I realized he wasn't quite the same person I had met in the interview. So that's how we met.
Wonderful, wonderful. Is that your story, William?
Well, yes, basically, she's recaptured the timeline pretty good.
Wonderful, wonderful. What are the things that we find in relationships is, you know, there's always two sides to the story.
Right.
And how we see things, we only have our own view, basically. You know, we have our own view of situations, so that's great that you share the same story.
Yeah.
And go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, it took us a while to get to the same story because, of course, he did remember that whole evening a lot differently than I did. So it took a while for us to say, well, yeah, I guess that is really what happened, because you're right. He saw the evening one way, and I saw the evening a totally different way. He kind of got the impression that I was flirting with him that evening without really saying anything, and I was totally turned off. In my head, I guess I was turned off, but my actions must have been saying something else.
Okay. And then how long before you guys got married?
We got married in 69. We met in 66. So it was about a 3-year courtship, my husband served some time in the Army Reserve, so the wedding was put off a few months. But I'll have to let – now, there's one story that we do still disagree on, or I won't say disagree, we just don't see it the same way. We can't ever really remember who broached the subject of marriage first. William swears that I did, and I don't know if he really did or if I just kind of thought that that's where the relationship was heading, so why be formal about it? Let's just do it. So people have asked us that before, you know, who proposed and all of that, and Williams feels strongly that I did, and I don't remember being that aggressive about it, but so our memories are still kind of foggy on that, or mine is anyway.
Got you. So what would you say is like the number one thing that's had you be married for 41 years?
Bill?
Well, you know, I don't know if you can rank them and if you can quantify, you know, the number one thing. I don't think you can do it that way. I think that it's a conglomeration of things, if you want to call it that. In terms of staying married, right, you said?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, if you look at the institution of marriage, I mean, you're supposed to stay married, number one. So it's not an anomaly that, you know, that one should. You know, I didn't go into it with the intention, you know, I'm going to see how it's going to be. You know, it was a commitment. I mean, my folks never got divorced. Nancy's folks never got divorced. But I don't think there was just one thing that I could point to that, you know.
So, I mean, are there many things, like, I mean, just things that you could name?
I don't know. I think the biggest thing, if I would put all of the many things under one umbrella, and that would be commitment. And, you know, I think that is it. I think that marriage itself, the term really means commitment. And it does mean commitment through thick, thin, good, bad, ugly, pretty, you know, prosperity, not so prosperity, you know, not such a prosperous time. And I think that would be it, commitment. And anything that will fall under that, you know, because like William was saying, you know, you don't, or at least we didn't, and I think most couples back in the late 60s, and our parents and his parents, they didn't get married thinking, well, the possibility of divorce is in the future. And I think that that's a big part of it, too. You know, you've heard, or you may have heard, Will and Jada Pinkett Smith. They have this thing in their marriage, you know, divorce is just not an option for them. And I'm not saying that that was anything that we necessarily stated overtly, but I think it's kind of, at least for me, divorce has never really entered my thought process, even when, you know, the times were more challenging.
So that's really like what Bill said about, you know, that's what marriage is about, you know, like not going into it trying to see what it's about, but going into it with the intention of staying together.
And if I could chime in again, you know, I just hate to say, you know, one thing. I never looked at it that way. But I think that, you know, the thing that I think will keep most, well, you have to have some goals that you want to accomplish. And I think that when two people are working towards common goals, I think that's very conducive to stand together. I think that when people lose sight of goals, it might be easier, perhaps, you know, to you know, not put the importance on marriage. But I think if you have some common goals that you want to achieve, I think that's a key component to an enduring marriage, having some goals that you want to accomplish. I mean, like wanting to have a family, you know, wanting your kids to do certain things, you know, wanting to have a house, wanting to, you know, get so much education, wanting to make so much money, wanting to do, you know, the nice vacation together, you know, wanting to have a nice car, you know, being involved in the church together. I mean, that's something that came on later in our marriage, because I said maybe the first decade of our marriage, not really, really into the church a whole lot. But, you know, having some common goals, I think, you know, helps quite a bit.
So one of the things that's occurring for me as I'm listening to you all speak, so there's this large umbrella, which is commitment. And if one were to make an analogy of what marriage is, it looks like marriage equals commitment, you know, long term. And then inside of that commitment, having shared vision and with, you know, with one another. And one of the things that we do as a premise in the International Black Summit is to work on our visions for our life, you know, and work on our visions for the community. And inside of establishing nurturing relationships, you know, the marriage relationship is definitely one of vision, you know, as you say, establishing goals together. And if you could share about how you have nurtured each other over the years, like what is that, you know, creating that nurturing relationship, what does that look like for both of you?
Let me say this. I'm not quite sure as to how you're defining nurturing, but I would say in terms of, you know, having goals in your marriage. I know when Nancy and I first got married, she was still in undergrad school. I had finished. I was working. So we wanted her to finish and get her degree, and she majored in education. So when she finished her degree, about maybe a year and a half or two into the marriage, I quit my full-time job with her support, went back to graduate school, got a master's degree. I think that when we wanted to, you know, get our first, you know, condominium, you know, we did some things to make that happen. You know, when we decided to have a family, you know, that required a bigger house, so that's something, you know, she found a place that she liked, I found a place that I liked, so we, you know, compromised on that. And when you say nurturing, I mean, I'm having a little difficulty in really understanding what you mean by within the context of a marriage when you say nurturing. Now, I'm a little bit not with you on that.
How do you nurture? How have you nurtured your wife over
nurturing?
Yes, nurturing her specifically as your wife.
Define nurturing for me, please.
Oh, you get to make it up. Like nurturing for me.
I want to understand what you mean.
Yeah, how do you give to your wife in a way that makes her feel valued in your relationship?
Well, I think that you can best answer that, you know.
Well, I think
that myself.
Yeah, I think probably the way we would define nurturing for this conversation would be probably in the way of support. And I don't think that it's a big mystery, you know, and I think that there has been nurturing is a big buzzword. And I think nurturing pretty much means allowing or supporting someone else in what they want to do. Supporting the couple's decision, you know, the joint decision to do something. You know, if you come to a decision to do something, even though it may not have been, you know, like it may not have been my initial desire, but if William came to me with something that was something he really desired, and we made the decision to move forward on that, I think nurturing kind of means, I'll say that nurturing means, for purposes of this discussion, supporting that decision, even though it may not have been what you initially saw, if that makes any sense at all. I don't think it's a big mystery. I think you if one person in the relationship has a desire to do something to better himself or herself or something for sheer enjoyment or whatever, then the other person will support that and give it his or her blessing. And I think that's kind of what that whole commitment thing is. You commit to the whole package. You know, you don't just commit to the good times of the relationship. You don't just commit to the vacations or the big cars and everything. You commit to the whole package, you know, the good times and the bad. And you stick it out and you work through it, whether it be by conversation, whether it be by standing in the corner pouting for a while, whatever it is, you stick it out. You know, you may be angry, you may be sad, you may be hurt, but from my point of view, you stick it out because you made the commitment. You know, when you took the vows, they should mean something. And people make jokes about, you know, in sickness and health and blah, 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 all of that, but that's really serious. When you stand before God and make that promise, you're not promising to do it until times get rough. When you say till death do you part, then you should kind of sort of work toward that, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's good. Great. Let me just take a moment, and thank you for your response, but let me take a moment to invite our listeners to call in. The call-in number is 646-716-9827, and you're listening to the International Black Summit Talk Show. Our guests are Nancy and William from Chicago, Illinois, who have been married for 41 years, and they're sharing with us some of their techniques in marriage. And we also invite you to our website, www.blacksummit.org, and take a look at our declaration. And right now we're in establishing nurturing relationships. That's what we're doing tonight. We're getting some tips from the pros, and I think after 41 years, we could consider consider them pros. So, Clara, back to you. And we do have a caller with their hand up.
Yes, on line 4. Let me open their mic.
Okay.
Can you call it out, Henrietta, please?
347-582, you're on the air. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do have a question. And
okay.
I do have a statement. My name is Ray, you know, and it's about, because I've been involved in relationships, I've been married, but there's one statement that I would like to make if I can, you know.
Okay.
And I feel that the way to developing a relationship, and I'm talking about those who don't believe in just getting married, you know, and doing the vow thing, I'm just because you live in a modern-day society, even though I respect that and I feel that's the way to go. But before anyone can get into any relationship with either one or the other, they need to know themselves. They need to love themselves. They need to accept their faults, work on how they could get around their own selves first before they even can decide and actually put someone in the way or consider having a relationship with someone, because you can't have a relationship with someone if you don't even know yourself, if you don't know what your wants and your needs are, if you are insecure about yourself. You've got to be secure about yourself. And us as female Afro-Americans and Asians and just females in general, we need to be secure within ourselves in order to nurture that relationship. Remember, we were nurtured from our mothers. So in order for us to nurture the man that we decide or the person that we decide to take into our lives, we've got to know ourselves. We've got to know what we need. Because without that, we can't do anything about a relationship. We can't even have one. That's how I feel anyway.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that share. And, you know, it's interesting because, thank you. I would probably agree with you to an extent, because, you know, that's always the best, you know, we look at it and say, well, you know, that's the best way to do it is if you know yourself. But I don't always think that, I think in many cases you get to know yourself in relationships. It's like the relationship kind of introduces yourself to you. So what I'll do is I'll ask the question of our guest tonight. Do you think, Nancy and Bill, or, you know, whoever would like to address it, did the two of you all know yourselves when you got married 41 years ago? Would you say you really knew yourself?
Let me respond. This is Bill. Let me respond to the question. You know, I got married when I was 23. Nancy was 21. People have to get married at different times at this point. But, you know, knowing oneself, I mean, that's a long life process, the way I define knowing oneself. So did I know myself when I got married? I knew myself to the extent of my knowledge, but I've grown. I know more about myself now in my mid-60s than I did in my mid-20s. And I'm not quite sure. Well, I'll put it this way. To me, knowing oneself is a continuing process. And not to repeat myself, but I know more about myself now than I did then. So I don't think if you wait until you know yourself fully, you're probably going to be dead.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. You know, it's kind of like we say that you need, you know, it helps. Believe me, it helps yourself. It helps you if you know yourself before you do anything. But it can't stop you from doing, it can't stop you from living if you don't quite know yourself, because I don't think anybody, we know certain things about ourselves, but I think relationships really teach us about ourselves. Let me ask that question, Bill, to you. Have you learned more about yourself through your relationship or through just living? I mean, well, that's kind of the same question, because you've been living inside of this relationship. But would you say that the relationship assisted you in knowing yourself, or did you do most of your learning about yourself just by yourself?
Oh, well, I think definitely. I mean, the interaction with another person, another circumstance, is certainly going to reveal a lot more about yourself, because
mm-hmm.
if you live in a vacuum, I don't think it's going to be difficult to, I think it's going to be difficult to really know who you are. So definitely the relationship helped expose deeper layers of myself.
May I interrupt for a second?
Go right ahead.
Well, yes, because we have to know ourselves, but the other thing that I mentioned was be secure about yourself, love yourself. You can't have a relationship if you don't love yourself, because if you don't love yourself, you cannot even have a relationship and develop the structure and the strongness of a relationship if you don't have that love, because if you don't love yourself, you cannot love anyone else. So it's not just about knowing yourself. It's being secure in what we're constantly growing every day. Right now, I'm learning from first graders, from college students. I'm in my mid-50s. I'm still learning from them. So it's not, I just want you to understand, it's not just about knowing, but it's about loving yourself and being secure within yourself to open yourself up to any kind of avenues of knowledge, which will be turned into wisdom through putting the use of the knowledge that you get every day. This is what comes into relationships. So I just want to be understood in what I was trying to say. That's all. Okay?
Thank you for sharing that. And I think the love component, you know, having a good self-esteem, you know, and loving yourself is really important just in terms of being a human being on the planet. And as you were sharing that, a story that came to mind was that of Joyce Meyer, who had her relationship starting out with her first husband. I guess wasn't good, but with her husband that she is with now, she admits that she was a mess, you know, that her past experiences had so thwarted her self-esteem and who she felt she was as a human being on the planet, that even though she got married, she didn't really feel like she was worthy of love, and she brought a lot of baggage to the relationship. And her story is that luckily for her, her husband was a Christian, and inside of his, what, you know, William called unconditional love, and the fact that he was committed to the marriage and committed to her, worked with her through all of her stuff. And I think that what happens a lot of times as we establish relationships, we really draw to us those things that are complement in the universe. You know, that person who, you know, we may have one complement of characteristics and strengths, and that person has another complement, and they say people marry their opposites. But I think that the universe sometimes gives you what you need on your path. And I heard this story a long time ago about love is that thing that is so powerful that it brings people together to hold them together as they go through the fire. Because if they didn't love one another to the degree that they did, they wouldn't have the tenacity or the stick-to-itiveness to go through the fire and to go through their transformation together. And that marriage takes you through this transformation and brings you out on the other side as
Hello?
We lost.
Oh, she disconnected. So she'll call back in. But once again, let me say, this is the International Black Summit Talk Radio, and we invite you to our website, blacksummit.org, to take a look at the declaration and see where you are in our declaration. Our guests tonight are Nancy and William from Chicago, a couple who have been married for 41 years, and we're discussing what it takes. You know, and so far what we're talking about is commitment, you know, really being committed to the vows that you take, being committed to each other, and the other person who shared with us is Ray, our caller, who talked about loving, knowing yourself and loving yourself as the key component to being in any relationship. So that's kind of where we are. Just to bring you up to date, we're here every Sunday night at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, and our hosts are consist of Jerry Thomas, Glenn Greenwich, Chakasha Showers from Okinawa, Japan, and Claire Lyons Devine, who you've heard speak earlier, and I'm Henrietta Bird. So we continue with our conversation about relationships. I'd like to ask you, Nancy and Bill, I'd like to ask you, you made some key points about having common goals. Was this something, you know, you talked about, you know, how you were in college, one of you was in college, the other one finished college, started working, the other one went back for the master's degree. Did you plan all of this before you got married, or was this something that just kind of happened, you know, as you went along? Was this something that you discussed before you married?
Definitely, in terms of both of us having degrees, we discussed that that was an important thing that we wanted to do. And I was a little bit closer to it than Nancy. And so when we got married, that's something that was a natural progression of, you know, a prior commitment. And then this was in the late 60s, early 70s. Opportunities were opening up for us, as it were. So I had the opportunity to go to grad school, and that was not something we had discussed prior to marriage. It was an opportunity that presented itself once we were married. And after talking about it, it seemed like the right thing to do in terms of where we want to be long term. We thought that by having the advanced degree, it would allow more choices and options in the area that I was pursuing, that was business. And we agreed on that. So so one situation we definitely talked about, the other one we kind of grew into it. And then after I got my master's, Nancy wanted to go back and get her master's. So we kind of believed in education. So it was kind of like natural progression.
Okay. Okay. What would you say has been probably the most challenging thing about marriage? If you could just name one or two things, what would be the most challenging part?
Well, I'll say this. Speaking generally, I think that to keep the communication open, I think that remains challenging. I think that it's something that, you know, you aspire to do when you first get married in terms of communicating. But, you know, life brings a lot of different circumstances, and I think that's something that I try to work on. You know, communicating openly and honestly, which isn't easy to do. So with me, it's just maintaining the open communication. And I think that it's easier when you're younger in the marriage than you know, as you grow into. At least it was for me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Nancy, what would you say the most challenging?
I guess the same thing, and it still goes back to honoring the commitment. I think, like William was saying, as time goes on, that can become more challenging because you are in the process of trying to honor the commitment. And sometimes, like William was saying, the honest and open communication can be difficult. In trying to honor the commitment, you know, in trying to honor the commitment, in trying to nurture, in quotes, I'm putting nurture in quotes, the goals of one of the individuals or the other, you know, in trying to make it through challenging times. So And I guess maybe I wouldn't say that having the open, honest commitment is the challenge. It's knowing how to have that open and honest communication.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think
That's great. That's great. Thank you so much, you know, for sharing that, because commitment, you know, we talk about intention and then we talk about commitment, you know. Intention is the word now, you know, like what is your intention? But it looks like, you know, the more I listen, you know, I learn so much from the two of you. I always have, but what I'm hearing tonight is that, you know, your intention was to be married forever. That was an intention. And so, and you were committed to that intention no matter what. And so that's what I'm getting tonight, that regardless to what I hear, is that regardless to what occurs, the overall goal is to stay married. You know, is to work things through, to work things out, you know, to support one another in whatever it is that you want to do. And I think that's such, you know, this is such a good piece of information for everyone. Again, our calling number is 646-716-9827. And Claire, your mic is on. I did see that you called back in, and your mic is on. And again, we invite you to our website, blacksummit.org, to get information on our upcoming annual event in the month of August that will take place in Baltimore, Maryland. Do any of our callers or our listeners have questions for our guest? If you do, would you press the number one button, please, so that we can see that you have a question? And I think this is Chakasha calling from Okinawa, so I'm going to turn her mic on if I can. Yeah. Chakasha, are you there? Okay. I guess you can't hear us, but anyway, she's probably listening a different way. So anyway, are there any other questions or comments from any of our guests? The mics are on. All the mics are on now. Okay, great. So Nancy and Bill, as we close out this segment, first I just want to say thank you so much for the inspiration and the information that you shared with us. Do you have any recommendations for couples, I would say, that are, you know, that are just beginning marriages or beginning relationships or looking to get into relationships, or maybe couples that, you know, that could just use some advice from some, you know, from a couple that has gone through it. Say it again.
From the old folks?
No, I didn't say that.
If this is advice, but as we've been talking here, I've been doing some thinking, and it seems as though to me that this is the age of information. We have so much more information available now than we did when I was married. There is information on every topic you can imagine. You can go to the internet and you can research whatever you want to. And I would say that couples can come into a marriage more prepared if they do more research on it. But on the one hand, I'm kind of conflicted, you know, is that the key to a successful marriage? I mean, Nancy and I, we plan to the best of our ability at that time, but I look at my youngest daughter who's married, and I mean, it's a whole different world in terms of the kind of information that they have available to them. Now, obviously, you have to use the information to really make it work, but I would say that, and people might disagree, but the way society is set up these days, you have more information available to aid you, but there are so many other images out there of what a marriage and relationship is that that may take away from some of the advantages, if I'm making any sense.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I guess what I would say is, getting back to what the earlier caller, I think her name was Ray.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of validity in what she's saying. I think that if I understood it properly, you know, you really do have to kind of know what you're looking for, or what you want. You know, it was easy for me. I always wanted to be married. I always wanted to be a wife. I always wanted to be a partner. And I think you have to know. If it's not what you want, then don't do it because you think your biological clock is running out. You know, I think you kind of have to know what you want. You either want a relationship, or you want to just have a good time, or, you know, whatever. So that would be my recommendation on an individual basis. You know, when couples come together, you know, again, I don't think it's rocket science. I think you need to talk to each other so that you know what he wants and he knows what you want. And to keep talking, you know, like William mentioned, our youngest daughter, you know, they're in a situation now where it's just the two of them. So they talk 21 hours a day. And so they probably talked about every aspect of a relationship that you can imagine. You know, their finances are in place, their family goals are in place because they've talked about it. And I think this is one of the things William might have been thinking about when he was, you know, talking about the Internet, because that is one of the things when I talked to my youngest daughter, what she said, well, you know, I Googled how to do a budget on blah, blah, blah. And, you know, she's got spreadsheets, she's got the budget set, they've got their 401k plan. All of these things are so instant now. You know, you don't have to go downtown and make an appointment with the financial counselor and wait till you can both make it at the same time. Everything is so instant now that young folks really, and not so young folks, anybody who's thinking about moving into a partnership, there's a lot of stuff you can take advantage of. But I would just say, you know, define for yourself what it is you're looking for. And if you have decided that you want one kind of relationship over another or no relationship over another, then make the commitment to that. You know, make the commitment to that. You know, we know someone else who has decided for the year 2010, she has just decided that she is not going to have any romantic relationships at all for this year. She's on hiatus. And she's making a commitment to do that. And to me, that is as strong a statement as saying, I met this guy, we're really in love, and I'm making the commitment to marry him by the end of the year. You know, I think both kinds of commitments are strong. But I think the key word is to make the commitment to whatever it is and then make that work. Whatever you say you're going to do, just do it, no matter what.
Mm. Well, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you both. And Ray, thank you for your comment. As we move into our last few minutes, we like to congratulate Monique on her Oscar. Last week we were kind of standing by to see what was going to happen, but it didn't occur until after the show was over. And so congratulations to Monique, who actually, in her interview, had some very interesting points about relationships also. And so we just want to acknowledge Monique for winning that Oscar last week. And
Miss Gabrielle, who won the nomination for Best Actress, which...
Yes.
Kind of in the shadow, but I want to acknowledge her as well because it's her first time out acting and to, yeah. to get that, I think, is pretty commendable for her.
Yeah, yeah, that's great also, yeah. And so, you know, our hats off to the two of them and to a really successful journey, as Monique calls it, that she's on. So we wanted, you know, we wanted to acknowledge her as our current event this week, Monique. It's about time right now for our summit moment, and I think it's so appropriate that we're talking about relationships because Claire is going to share a summit moment with us. Claire, go right ahead.
Okay, great. Thank you. One of the things that our main purpose at the International Black Summit is for people to bring into being their vision for the Black community in the world, and I really want to thank William and Nancy and Ray for sharing with us their vision about a marriage relationship, having and establishing a nurturing relationship, and marriage is definitely that. And within the summit community, there have been quite a few marriages of people who've come to the summit event and have gotten married as a result of meeting their significant other at the event. And I'm one of those persons. I actually went to the summit, had been wanting to go for a while, and my father passed. And so after, you know, getting through that whole experience, I said, okay, I'm going to go this year. I went by myself. I didn't arrange to go with any of the people from my state. So I was kind of out there on my own. And I had an opportunity to notice a gentleman who was being the epitome of service, you know, and I always wondered how I would know my husband. That was the inquiry that I was in. So, Nancy, you were talking about, you know, kind of knowing what you want. And I was in inquiry with God about, okay, how would I know my husband? Because I've had a wonderful single life, dated, and actually had some really great relationships with my exes. They're all still friends. And saw my now husband in the middle of the ballroom where we were holding the event. And it was like the world stopped in that moment, and all I saw was him. Like,
oh,
I'm glad I'm so
romantic.
All I said was, and I just really was in love with the way he was being in service, and I said, God, send me a man like that. And later he had invited me to a party up at the suite, and I went, and I was still in my own space and, you know, didn't really pay too much attention to him. And about a month or so later, he came to California, which is where I'm from originally, for a summit meeting, and he sat next to me. And he put his arm around me, and he was being all French, and I was like, oh, no. He told my friend that I'm going to marry you. I was like, you don't even know me. But we did, in fact, get married about a year later from that moment. So Spirit definitely does send you what you ask for.
Yeah. That's true. And sometimes you get it even before you ask for it because you don't even know.
Exactly. So that's my summit moment.
Oh, that's great. That's great. And a great person he is. Such a wonderful servant. Like you said, he serves the summit so well, and we just want to acknowledge that summit moment because it gave us many, many great moments, that relationship. So thank you once again for a wonderful, wonderful show, and we invite you to, again, listen to the show archive. Are we going to the oxygen room this evening, Claire? Our oxygen room is where we continue the conversation.
We're going to be off air in about 30 seconds, if you could give the number.
I don't have a number.
Let's do the 752.
Okay. Is Jerry online?
Yes, he is.
Okay, Jerry.
Hello.
Oh, Glenn.
One.
Hi. Hi. Can you give the number, please?
218-862-6420. Access code is 797-4834 pound sign. Let me read it one more time. 218-862-6420, 797-4834 pound.
Great. Thank you so much. So once again, thank you to all of our guests. Please remember to go to the International Black Summit website, blacksummit.org, and join the Black Summit Network. Join our network so that we can stay in touch with you. Thanks again to Ray, Nancy, and Bill, our guests, and all of our listeners. And we'll see you in the Oxygen Room. Claire?
Okay, good night.
Good night.
718-4784.